2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Says the NBA Daily Dispatch, brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Join us today by using the promo code PODCAST and get yourself 10% off each month of your subscription. With that, you're going to get access to our Domination Station, VIP articles and tools, and of course, the Slack chat channel, which is open 24/7, 365. Once again, folks, go to DFSArmy.com. Join us by using the promo code PODCAST. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on the Twitter machine at 14A.Walsh. Find Keith Hall over there as well at DFS. I didn't even get that right. At Boomers DFS Daddy. So Wednesday, got a 9-game slate going on here today. By the way, before we begin our opening or whatever, I want to give a big shout out to our boy Mitch, a.k.a. DFS and Donuts. Almost took down that big $9 GPP on FanDuel last night. Ended up finishing 12th in that. Was up there near the top. Wasn't going to take down the top spot there because a couple other guys had a little train of Michael Beasley ahead of him, just like he had left. But nonetheless, a good night that we certainly needed here at the Army.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a bad lineup. Well, obviously, it wasn't a bad lineup. It wasn't, the guy that the key that unlocked it all was, after George Hill was ruled out, he put in some Garrett Temple, and Temple had a good night last night. So,
now,
under 2% owned and good to go.
I was going to say, Buddy Hield also got hurt late in that game yesterday, too, which kind of. Gave Temple a little more run, but my God, the guy had one of those magical shooting nights, and, that certainly helps. Now, I don't know if Donuts is online right now purchasing a Garrett Temple jersey as we speak, but...
No, he's not.
He's got to hold the guy dear to his heart. All right, so 9-game slate, not much jibber-jabber to get to today, but anything that you wanted to break down before we hit these positions?
No, not really.
All right, fair enough. By the way, congratulations on your 1-point victory last night over my Brooklyn Nets. Damn good game down the stretch. But, and it's funny, too, because I finally found – and you knew this, and I was a little disappointed in you that you didn't tell me, but nice sneak job on your point. But who knew that Spencer Dinwiddie, the Brooklyn Nets point guard, was dating Andre Roberson's sister? That was a very juicy tale.
Yeah, I didn't want to give you any extra ammunition. So it's already bad enough. You think that, Russ shouldn't have won the MVP last year. So,
right. Yeah. Well, it took me up until April to finally, throw up the white flag, but neither here nor there. All right. We got a lot to get to today. So let's just get right into it today, folks. At the point guard position. I like it here, but let's begin with yesterday's hero, DeJounte Murray. Huge game last night against the Cavaliers. However, the situation is a little different today. Spurs back end of a back-to-back, third game in 4 days, fourth game in 6 days as well, going into Memphis tonight. These two teams do have the slowest pace in the NBA this season. Spurs there at 29, Memphis there at 30. Murray obviously going to be pretty popular tonight because his price really did not rise all that much. What's the synopsis here on Murray tonight? Are we going with them, or is this a complete fade in your eyes?
I think you can go with them in cash. I mean, there's not really a lot down there that you can be too safe with and, feel good about. I mean, you got Milos there, but he doesn't have as high of a ceiling, and I don't care what people say about, oh, you're supposed to build a floor in cash. Yes, but if you don't have a ceiling, then it's really not going to be very good. You're still going to finish bad. So you still want guys with upside as well. So we saw what that upside could be. Now, one of the things that we did talk about yesterday, and it kind of came to fruition, was the aggressive hands that he has.
Right.
Now, with that said, he had 7 steals last night. Don't expect that again. You can expect 3, maybe 4, but I mean, he's too cheap if he's going to get 30 minutes and give you 15 points, 7 rebounds, 4 or 5 assists, and a couple steals. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't expect the 52 out of him like he had last night. But, you know, 35 out of him wouldn't be bad. I mean, right now we've got him projected about 28. So that's, you know, over 5x for cash, and you're looking pretty good there. Now, there are a couple interesting tournament pivots.
Well, before we get off of Murray, I think it's interesting to note, too, that he probably won't have Tony Parker for the Spurs tonight. You know, back end of a back-to-back, they typically sit him. So that's one body out of the way. And then I also wanted to mention, too, last night, I guess one good and one bad about Murray. And it's not really a bad. It's just I think 3 of those steals last night fell directly into the number on the front number on his jersey. Like, he just got like 9 free points for just standing where he was. But again, you know, he does have the active hands. And I wanted to say that too. He had, I think there were 3 rebound putbacks last night that he had too. And that's incredible to see that out of a point guard. You really don't see that. So, yeah, I just wanted to throw that out. And he already is pretty active on the defensive end of the glass as well.
Yeah, he is. He's, you know, a good young player. And Pop said that he has no fear. So it's obviously for cash games with them being on a back-to-back and not really having, you know, the ability for FanDuel to correct his price. Don't expect him at this price for long, so you might as well get it while you can. So.
Fair enough. All right, so you were talking about some pivots tonight. I assume one of them's not going to be Jerry and Grant.
Hell no. I'm sorry.
Well, I wanted to talk about him because, again, he's going to be a heavy point of discussion here. But I guess, you know, give a little insight as to why you don't think Jerry Grant's going to have that repeat performance tonight.
Because we've seen this out of him before. Because he shot 86% from the field and 100 or didn't miss a free throw. Had 13 assists. And, yeah, like, we're talking about a guy that's shoots 42% from the field this season, and he shot 86%. Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'll let everybody else chase. I mean, what was it last year, the beginning of the season when Rondo was out or suspended or whatever it was? He comes out the first game. I remember vividly talking about this.
I believe it was against Portland, and he had a ridiculous number of steals.
Yeah, and then the next game, everybody jumps on him, and he gives you like a 12. It's just, yeah, I'm just not doing it. It's hilarious. It really, really is, because I've seen a lot of people already. Yeah, it was against Portland, and then against the two nights later against Utah, he comes out and gives you an 18 and then gives you an 11 against the Clippers. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm just not doing it. So he had 5 steals that game.
Yes, yes. See, I don't know what it is, but there are certain things that I just remember. Now, if I could only remember useful bits of information in life, oh man, I'd be a deadly human being. All right, so who were some of these pivots that we're thinking about going to today?
I think one of them's Darren Collison.
Yeah.
He's a couple hundred more than Murray. It's tournaments only, obviously, but you know, I think that's a good place that you can go. There aren't any positive matchups on the ADVP chart for point guards today. And I don't remember ever seeing a night like that.
The list keeps getting smaller and smaller for the green on point guard.
It does. There aren't a lot of...
There are two.
Yeah, the point guard position has not been a place of, you know, if Steph or, let's see, there's three positive matchups for the point guard position in the NBA right now, according to the ADVP chart. Can you guess who they are?
Brooklyn, Orlando, and I was looking at it earlier. I only saw two, but I guess
there's
that
one
wasn't
more.
I got Dallas.
No, Lakers.
Lakers. How do you like them apples?
So, yeah, it's, you know, just kind of one of those things that's going on right now. And it'll change. But, yeah, I don't mind paying for guys like Kyrie Irving, Damian Lillard tonight. But those are probably about the only ones. I guess you could go to Dallas and go with Chris Paul as well, because we know he's going to play the minutes. I'm a little weary of paying 10-1 for Chris Paul.
Okay.
He's definitely fairly priced, don't get me wrong. I'm weary about doing that because of other positions I kind of want to attack with my money.
I got you. Dallas actually is the best ADVP matchup for point guards on this slate. Fourth best this season, as you were just talking about. I'm not really worried about this this matchup against the Mavs. And there's a couple guys that I actually like on the Mavs tonight. But
I'm not worried about the matchup. It's
about paying up that much.
Yeah, it's more of the, you know, I want to attack other positions with my money. So how am I going to have, you know, unless a lot of value opens up throughout the day, which it there, don't get me wrong, there's a very good chance that it does. I just don't know if I want to pay that much for it.
I hear you. Again, Dallas has actually been very, they've improved a lot here on the offensive efficiency end of things. They're actually in the middle of the NBA now, where they were, you know, down near the bottom a lot of this season. So I'm interested to see how this matchup plays out tonight. I love the Darren Collison call tonight against Phoenix. I mean, hell, it's Phoenix. Why not like it? Kyle Lowry's pretty interesting, and I wanted to talk about this because some people might have looked at the ADVP chart and been confused about this. I looked at it, and I was a little confused. So you're going to see that point guards against Atlanta are in the red, and you'd think that that's strange because Dennis Schroeder, actually the fourth worst defender in all of the NBA, that's out of all 477 players right now. But, I was looking at it as, you know, Kent Bazemore going up against most of these talented point guards that a lot of other teams have. Then you put Dennis Schroeder, you know, up against, you know, the number two option, I guess, from a team's backcourt. But tonight, I don't think that Atlanta is going to have that luxury. Obviously, you're going to assume that Kent Bazemore is going to be going up against DeMar DeRozan and actually leave Kyle Lowry all alone there with Dennis Schroeder. So I like Lowry in this scenario, but what do you think?
I don't think it's a camp and park spot as far as the defense. I think it's they're going to switch a lot because I would rather slow each one of them down a little bit and not let them get into a groove rather than shut one down and let the other guy take over. That's just the way I'm thinking.
Okay.
Does that sound like?
Sure, man. Let's take a look at some of these other guys that I guess you didn't mention. Kemba Walker against the Hornets tonight. Pace up game for both sides. Pelicans run the sixth fastest pace in the league, while Charlotte is at number nine. I know you like your Kemba Walker more at home.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to do here. I'm really, really not. Here's an interesting thing going back to Kyle Lowry.
I bet.
He hasn't broke 40 FanDuel points. Oh, wait, no, never mind. He's actually had some really bad games against Atlanta. And one of them was earlier this season. Remember when they went, or Atlanta came up to Toronto, and I think they just absolutely just smoked them. Like, it was a double digit. It was weird. But their last game against against Toronto, he scored 24.5 in 30 minutes.
Now, wait, this was the last meeting this season, correct?
Yeah, in Toronto. Now, the matchup in Atlanta earlier this season, he put up a 38.6. I think it's going to be more towards the 38 rather than the 24. You know,
sure.
I'm not, you know, predicting anything here, but that's just kind of where I'm saying. But yeah, it's Kemba is very, very, very interesting to me, and I don't know exactly what I'm going to do with them. I do like it. I know everything about the pace, and point guards have been killing New Orleans lately. I'm not 100% sure what I'm going to do with this one yet. Like, all he's right. Interesting, and I have interest, but I'm not completely sold because I can go get Kyrie Irving for $200 cheaper against the Clippers.
All right. And by the way, Kyrie Irving looked like he had a little bit of a, I don't know if it was a leg or an ankle issue last night. So I just, you know, nothing official has come down the pipeline or anything yet, but just something to look out for today. Just a little something that I noticed yesterday. Another guy that I want, we got word not too long ago that Jimmy Butler and Jamal Crawford are looking doubtful for tonight's game. So Jeff Teague here against Portland.
Yes.
I will preface this too. Now, Minnesota is on the front end of a back-to-back tonight, and they go to Golden State tomorrow. So I don't know if maybe they get caught looking ahead to tomorrow night, tonight. I don't know what that situation is, but it is certainly worth mentioning that
they
are there.
Why do you think they're sitting Jimmy Butler again tonight?
Well, part of that reason, sure. But again, you know, we know that Tibbs loves to run his starters into the ground no matter what. So, again, sure, they might be out there, but are they looking ahead to tomorrow night?
Yeah, but
this is a podcast. We overanalyze everything, folks.
I know, but you're sitting here as the number 3 seed or number 4 seed. I can't remember which one. Number 4, sorry. And you're wanting to make a statement. What better way to make a statement than maybe not beat Golden State at Oracle, but at least at least give them a really, really, really good game. And in order to do that, you need Jimmy Butler. So, I'll let it rest tonight against Portland, and I'll let it go, and hope that Wiggins and Towns and Teague can take over.
There you go. All right, anybody else that we're looking at tonight?
Milos is interesting.
Yep, I like him. He's home too.
Yeah, but he would be another one of the pivots that you could go to off of DeJounte Murray. He doesn't have the same ceiling, but he's going to play the same amount of minutes, and you're going to get him at far lower ownership. So if Murray ends up bombing, and Milos has, you know, a fairly, you know, good game, then you could end up really, 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 you know, gaining a lot of ground on the field, because
sure.
Murray will be extremely highly owned.
Here, just one guy that I want to talk about for multi-entry, and then we can move on to shooting guards. But now Shabazz Napier, he has not played well over the last two games. He's been dealing with a chest injury.
I didn't know he was even freaking playing.
Right, but however, we have seen him have some pretty nice games even with Damian Lillard in the lineup. I know all the time we talk about you can't play Shabazz Napier because – or you can't play Shabazz Napier when Damian Lillard's in the lineup, but he has been playing some minutes down the stretch at times when Lillard's in. Just saying, for multi-entry, watch out for Shabazz Napier tonight. He could be very interesting.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I know. Hey, if you're scripting, right, think about it. All right, shooting guards tonight, and why not lead it off with my boy Jimmy Harden. He is going up against the Dallas Mavericks tonight. Again, the minutes restriction seems to be lifted off of James Harden. However, we know playing this DFS game for a while that there have been some struggles against the Dallas Mavericks for James Harden against them. So he is back up to his usual price here at 11.5. Are you worried about this history against the Mavericks, or do you think he's got it figured out?
A little bit, but... You know, because Wesley Matthews seems like he can stay on him and has pretty good history against him, at least on the defensive end. You know, they could throw J.J. Barea out there a little bit on him. I know Devin Harris is going to be out, but you've got – I mean, that's still a four-guard rotation. I'm not talking about playing any Mavericks, but, you know, the Mavs, like we've said, the backcourt there for them is something that, you know, they've kind of tightened up this defense a little bit with the way they've been running their rotation now.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, so we've got that there. And then I think the other big name at the position tonight, we got Victor Oladipo going up against the Phoenix Suns. You know, he's right on the cusp of being four digits and five digits there on FanDuel. He's at 9,900. Are you interested here?
Yes, but tentatively.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because there's a guy about $1,300 cheaper that I really honestly might go all in on tonight.
Oh, do tell.
Lou Williams.
Ooh.
Who, after the All-Star Reserves, and I'm not one to buy into narratives, but when you're talking about a guy that honestly – should have made the All-Star team over. Like, there were a couple snubs last night that should have made the All-Star team over some of the guys that did.
You know what's crazy? There will always be snubs in the West. There's just so many talented players, and the Warriors take up four roster spots. Like,
they shouldn't. Clay is not an All-Star this year. I'm sorry.
No, I agree.
The way that he's, you know, if you want to just go like two for two, like the two guard versus the two guard, then Lou Williams deserves to be an All-Star over, and for that matter, you could probably even say Devin Booker, and Donovan Mitchell, honestly, over Clay. And I know this is going to be a hot take or whatever, but like there are about four or five guys that at the two in the West, I would honestly really rather take over Clay. And Lou Williams' response to the All-Star announcements yesterday was just LOL.
Yep. You know, it's interesting because I was listening to the NBA channel on SiriusXM, and Clay is actually posting some of the best numbers of his career. He's shooting the best three-point percentage of his career at about 45%. Field goal percentage is at 48.5%. The points per game dipped down a little bit, but I know the reason, because, you know, he's the fourth option there.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
He's not seeing as much defense as the other guys.
It has nothing to do with that. Like, I would have had if Donovan Mitchell hadn't been doing what he's doing, if Devin Booker wasn't having a great year, if Lou Williams really wasn't having a great year, I would have no problem with Clay. Unfortunately, I think these are three guys that are having better years than Klay Thompson. And because of the fact that he's on the Warriors, he's going to get, you know, more run and more recognition. You know, it's just like And honestly, you could probably make a comparable case for CJ McCollum. Maybe not as big of one as the other three, but like those other three, and like I know with Mitchell, they're saying, oh, well, he's a rookie, he'll have his time. And Booker, oh, you're young. But okay, so what's your excuse for Lou Williams? There isn't one.
Right.
He's doing it coming off the bench.
Yeah.
He's not starting. He's doing it coming off the bench. And he's one of the best interviews in the NBA. I'm sorry. So
very soft. Very soft speaker, that Lou.
Well, yeah. I mean, he just like there are as we've heard many, many times, there are what they call shooters and there are what we call scorers in the NBA. And Lou Williams is just a flat out scorer.
Let's go. But no, you're absolutely right, and I do think that narrative plays well. You know, again, he's going to be taking on a Boston team, which yeah, they're on the back end of back to back. But keep in mind, they didn't do any travel; they'll be playing in the same arena that they did last night. And I like that. I have it written down in my notes too. With
I'm Lou a little Williams. Worried about Marcus Smart, but that's about it.
Sure, okay, you can make that case. You know, no Juwan Evans tonight for the Clippers, so that's just another body that's out of the Clippers' backcourt that really helps out Lou a lot, too. So I'm in total agreement with you there.
You're absolutely 100% right. I think Ty Wallace, because Juwan Evans is out, think Ty Wallace takes a little bit more of those minutes because he's actually, from what I've watched of him, and I've watched a lot of him because I can't figure out why Doc won't play him in the fourth quarter. He's actually very, very good defensively. Like, he's very active. Absolutely. He defends really well with his feet. And that's that for a guy that, you know, was basically signed off the street, that's probably the most shocking for me.
Okay, let's play a game real quick. For those of us who don't know Ty Wallace, who would you say that he is most comparable to in the NBA right now?
Gosh, that's tough.
Yeah. Asking the tough questions
right here. You got to kind of look on the other side of the court and kind of, I mean, I could see a little bit of Marcus Smart in him.
Okay, that's an interesting one.
You know, maybe not without the flop, but just the active hands, the trying to play tough defense, maybe a Patrick Beverley without the ball handling skills.
I was actually thinking a little bit of a better version of Kent Bazemore.
Ooh, that's another good one, too.
That was the number one name I'm on.
Bazemore can handle the ball a little bit better than Wallace can.
You know what it was, too? I was thinking with the lefty-lefty comparison as well.
Very, very, very good.
Okay. All right. Let's look at some other guys here on the list. Nick Batum is pretty interesting. He did see a price increase, though, which kind of stinks. I don't mind Batum at all. Well, I shouldn't even say I like Batum. In these up-tempo games tonight, which we'll definitely see here. And look, Batum's been playing pretty well of late. So I think the $6,000 price tag on FanDuel is justifiable, but doesn't mean that I have to like it.
Yeah, exactly. I also like Donovan Mitchell as well.
Yes, Donovan going up against the Detroit Pistons in Motown this evening. Let's see here. Maybe any interest? CJ McCollum's prices come down a little bit. Doesn't have to deal with Jimmy Butler tonight.
Yeah, he'll get more Wiggins defense, so I don't mind that play at all.
Jesus Christ, the dog is snoring. Do you hear this dog snoring?
I do not.
Okay, good. All right, then he can snore away. So, fair enough.
What are we doing with Marcus Smart? Like, I called that last night.
You did? Very good one as well.
But, like, can we go back to him?
I tell you what, his shot looked awesome last night. Yes, they were going in, but the form looked great. No, he didn't hit that buzzer beater last night. I mean, I think so, right? This is a Clippers team that, you know, they're not much defensive resistance going on. Probably going to play, you know, 30 minutes around there. The price is certainly right on Smart. I think so. Why the hell not, right?
Okay.
Yeah, what the hell? Looking at some other guys on the list here, too. Andrew Wiggins. You know, we talked about CJ McCollum without Jimmy Butler there. Andrew Wiggins is certainly going to be there. And again, his price, not that much. $6,100 on FanDuel. Going to go get a price check on him on DraftKings. I actually have it pulled up today. I'm prepared. $6,900 on DraftKings. $6,100 on FanDuel. Obviously, yeah, you know where the likeness is.
Yeah, he's going to be kind of chalky. So, I don't think I can do that.
Okay.
At least not – like, I don't mind it, but – Andrew Wiggins always scares me. Like, he really does. I mean, we're talking – I mean, come on, guys. He had 40 points, and he had 48.7 fantasy points. Like, you're relying on a guy that's 100% – or not 100%. That's 95% reliable on scoring. Now, if you're going to – if you're going to do a guy like this, if you're going to play a guy like this, you're going to, you want to pay him at like 6,100, obviously. Yeah. But like, I don't, I'll take my chances that he only scores 35 real life points, mm-hmm. which will be a great game. He'll be hot, but he won't do anything else. I'll take my chances like that. Like he only scores you 35 and gets you 39 fantasy points, and go get somebody like a Nick Batum who, or a Kent Bazemore who can contribute multiple categories, or Marcus Smart.
Indeed. So,
I mean, there's a lot of different options that you could go to. You can go to Wesley Matthews tonight for all I care.
Ah, yes, that is a name that I really.
You're coming.
I had him. He was on my lower rung. I had two guys that I want to talk about. Wesley Matthews is one. Again, you look at his price tag, $4,800 on DK, $5,100 on FanDuel. This is for a guy projected to play 35 minutes. The only thing – now, you talked about it a little, which kind of alludes to the downside of this, is if Wesley Matthews is going to be attached to the hip of Harden, then, you know, maybe we don't see total upside out of him. You know, that's certainly an issue as well. So there is a little bit of risk, but again – that many minutes for that price is very appealing. And then the other one, and I think it's a – I want to dig into a little more, but I'm just going to mention it here on the pod, but Avery Bradley. So yeah, I know he's been dealing with some groin issues, and he only played 25 minutes in that last game against the Nets, only 29 in that last game against the Wizards. But we saw that Reggie Bullock is available to play but probably not going to play. So – you know, does that open up more minutes for Bradley if he's able to do it?
Yeah,
you know,
Bullock's going to be active, but not, but is highly unlikely to not play.
Right.
He's going to basically be the emergency guy. So let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Because I like the Avery Bradley thing, but is it time to
check
his health? Is it time to start paying attention to Zach LaVine? He played 24 minutes last game.
Okay.
He's had a couple days off. It is against Philly, who is absolutely decimated in the backcourt.
Indeed. I mean, you want to, right? I mean, Zach LaVine's a guy I think in the past we paid about, what, like 6,000? I think probably
yeah,
went upwards of 6,500 on FanDuel.
He was around the Andrew Wiggins type.
Now, but I don't remember if LaVine got more minutes because of overtime. I can't remember right this second, but remember they played two overtimes in that game in New Orleans last time out. But, yeah, I mean, this is the matchup to do it. You know, I mean, I know that Redick is out, and he's actually been a guy that, you know, he's been able to pick on this season, which hasn't been always been the case in the past. But, again, the guys that you're putting in there aren't going to be much better, so – yeah, I think LaVine's a guy you can take a shot on. I mean, he's kind of in that same area of, you know, of question that I have with guys like Avery Bradley and Wesley Matthews who are priced similarly. So, yeah, I think he's somebody you can pay attention to.
Yeah, exactly. So,
all right. All right. Anybody else here that you want to mention at the shooting guard position? Oh, my. Glad I just saw this. Just came down 1.5 minutes ago. Tyreek Evans questionable with an illness for tonight's game.
Yeah, I was questioning. Somebody posted that in our Slack chat, and so I was like, why would Tyreek sit? Ding, ding.
There it is. There it is. So, all right. Yeah. All right, let's move it along here. We've got the small forward position, which is always an interesting one. What are you looking at here to begin?
This one.
My thoughts exactly.
This one's weird. Because TJ Warren's probably going to be default chalk, and I don't think he should be. I'm definitely going to have some – I'm going to go back to the well on Jaylen Brown tonight, going up against the Clippers. MKG's questionable, so if Trevion Graham ends up playing, then I might have some interest there.
I do believe I saw MKG probable.
Yeah, he practiced yesterday, but like until we get word that he's actually, you know, it's a situation I'm going to prepare for.
Okay.
Because this is the NBA, and we are approaching the All-Star break. So
yes, we are. I love all the trade talk, by the way. Can't get enough of it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, so that's one of the situations there that we need to pay attention to. I don't mind going back to the well on Joe Ingles. His price is getting up there a little bit, and I think I might rather maybe not.
No, I think Ingles 5,000 and no Rodney Hood tonight for the
That's kind of what that was kind of the basis behind it.
For your Utah Jazz.
And then obviously we can go back to Nilemia Zbulinsia.
Mm-hmm.
So now the question is, I mentioned him the other night, but it wasn't something that I don't think I played him.
Okay.
He's 3,900 now, but he's going to play 30 minutes. Is Darius Miller still in play?
I think so. And this is an area that you've been able to attack the Charlotte Hornets at here at the three position. You look at the minute 30, 40, upped a little bit by the absence of Anthony Davis in overtime there that last game. So, yeah, I certainly think that this is an area that you can get now. You know, what we've typically seen out of him the last three games is six times his salary value, which I think we'll take any day out of the week. But, yeah, you certainly can't deny this. And our own Haster kind of mentioned – Haster? I can never get it right. But he mentioned this in the chat today. Somebody asked, you know, why is Rondo, you know, sliding down in minutes? And I think Miller is certainly the guy that is responsible for that, with the Pelicans wanting to go a little taller in that. So, give Haster's proper credit on that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I also like I'm a huge fan of throwing my NBA coach hat on. So what I'm going to do here is throw that on, and we're going to talk about Robert Covington for a second. So with all the injuries that the Sixers have right now, what I would do is I would put Covington at the two for most of this game and probably slide Dario into the three tonight. Again, all spots that we can attack the Chicago Bulls at tonight. So, again, even with all these injuries to the backcourt, I just think that Covington's going to see a little uptick in pretty much every aspect of the game tonight. Now, we kind of saw this situation take place on Saturday, but he was a much more affordable, I think, $5,200 or $5,100 on FanDuel. He's a lot more expensive today at $6,200, but against the Bulls, I can take that chance.
Yeah, exactly. It's very hard to not attack this Bulls-Sixers game. But Covington is not performed well.
No, he has not. But again, Saturday, the position.
No, I get everything behind it. It just, you know, we used to be able to go to Robert Covington and be like, all right, this guy's good for 35, you know. or he's not shot well this season.
No, I was going to say, or we had, you know.
But he's played better the last couple games, it looks like.
I was going to say, going back to 2 years ago, it was a legit coin flip. Like, will he or won't he perform tonight? We just didn't know. But, yeah, again, I think the situation for tonight dictates that he'll be fine. There was somebody else I want to – Harrison Barnes against the Rockets. I know last game he performed well against the Wizards, but he got clipped because of the blowout. You don't like him here, huh?
No, thank you.
Okay, okay. Kyle Anderson.
I could possibly do that, but it scares me a little bit with the Tyreek Evans news now.
Okay.
Because the context of this game could change if Tyreek Evans is out. And with San Antonio being, 4-6, 3-4, and back into back-to-back?
Yep.
So, would you be surprised at all if LMA sits and we see a Davis Bertans, Joffrey Laverne, if Powell's not back?
Oh, my. You just, all the possibilities in that.
It wouldn't shock me at all, would it? Or it wouldn't shock you at all?
No. I don't think so. I think there are a lot of different ways that game can go. But, again, they're all just they're all thoughts at this point. So I don't mind that. All right. Any other guys that we're looking at here before we move on?
Harrison Barnes has only broke 30 once since he's been with Dallas against Houston.
Not good. And we're probably going to see him play more at the four, a position that typically hasn't done well against the Rockets this season. So
yeah.
That makes sense. One other guy, I guess one more guy here, Wesley Johnson. You think, with the way that the Clippers' backcourt is shaping up, he could see more minutes at the three tonight?
Maybe.
Okay.
It could definitely be – he could play some of the four, too. If DJ's – is DJ out again?
Jordan, I believe, he's doubtful. Questionable or doubtful, yeah.
So, he could slide down to the four, and they could put Lou at the two and or Lou at the three and Ty Wallace at the two and T. Dosich at the one. Who's gonna run? I'm trying to figure out this Clippers rotation because there's got to be does this mean that we get more Sam Decker tonight?
I don't know. I don't know what it is about LA, man. You can't figure out these rotations. They trick you every game.
Well, yeah, but
could, but I don't know. It's Sam Decker. I don't know.
15 minutes. Oh, that's who I was forgetting was Montrezl Harrell.
Montrezl Harrell.
That's where I was forgetting it.
All right.
Okay, that makes more sense now. I know which way we're.
One last name that I wanted to talk about. I don't know. It's a blast from the past. He came up as I was diving at the bottom of the dumpster here. But just want to point out, not saying it's a good play. Maybe if you're scripting, Justin Anderson of the Sixers. He's played 16, 14, 17 minutes. Zetman Price here. We've seen this guy do some interesting things in the past. But again, with the way that the Sixers rotation, I wouldn't be surprised if he hit value or something one of these times soon. So. Not a great option, but again, somebody I wanted to mention nonetheless. All right, let's get to power forwards here. We've got Anthony Davis tonight on the slate. Liking him or loving him against the Hornets tonight? Or C, none of the above.
I like a lot. I love a lot. It's not hard to figure it out. He's got one of the highest ceilings on the slate. The problem is does this feel like a fair and balanced type of day to you?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know how you want me to answer that. I don't.
Like, I don't. I like Anthony Davis.
Okay.
But I also really like Domantas Sabonis. I like Thad Young. I like Montrezl Harrell. You know, LMA is he's a cash game guy, but I don't know if you don't really have a lot of profit potential in tournaments there. I don't know what to make of the Sixer situation yet, so I'm not really sure on Ben Simmons. Lauri Markkanen's still under 7,000. You know, you've got Blake Griffin only at 9K going up against Boston. I mean, Jason Tatum could have a bounce back. Al-Farouq Aminu could have a good game. We can't forget about Dirk tonight, who always seems to have good games against the Rockets. Ryan Anderson's not at home.
Not on the red planet.
You've got Davis Bertans, who could end up getting a lot more run again tonight. And we can't forget the guy that decides when and when not to screw us. He's still playing 30 minutes a night. Dragan Bender.
Yes, now Marquise Chris has already been ruled out for tonight. So that means that Benderama will definitely be back in play. You know who's been interesting here of late, too? Thaddeus Young. He's been playing a ton of minutes. He's performed well in three of the last four games.
It's going to take a different situation. I forgot that Miles Turner was back at practice yesterday, and he's probable.
Probable?
He's questionable. So if Miles Turner is out, then that changes the whole dynamic of the front court.
Sure.
Unless he's on some sort of little minutes restriction. But I forgot that was one of the reasons why Thad has been... Yes. That and Sabonis have been playing so well.
Well, I was going to say even too, like there was a time that even when Turner was out of the lineup, Turner was still sucking up the joint. But like over these last couple of games, he's refound himself. So glad to see that. Let's see. Another guy, and I kind of mentioned him when we were talking about Covington, but Dario Saric. I mean, look, the guy just continues to perform. There was a time when we were very, very strong in our stance of do not play Dario Saric when Joel Embiid's in the lineup, and he's been like, F off everyone.
They've learned to make it work.
Yeah, he's been amazingly productive here of late, so I don't mind him either. I mean, you mentioned a lot of guys. Again, too, Montrezl Harrell, you know, Boston, they've been not as good here down low of late. The centers now are an green ADVDP matchup here for those guys. So I know
they're running a lot more Aaron Baines, Daniel Tyus, Marcus Morris at the position instead of just Jason Tatum. I'm not going to – like whoever is going to play a lot of the three for the Clippers, I want no part of. Like – I don't want any part of who Jaylen Brown is covering. And honestly, I mean, this is something we didn't think about. Is there a chance that we see Jaylen Brown on Lou Williams and Marcus Smart on Lou Williams? Like, that's who he's going to see the whole game?
I mean, you got to think that that's probably the combo. But I would have to think that Marcus Smart is going to take – some pride in this matchup tonight. Again, I think Lou can have a very good game, but you know, you got to downgrade Smart a little bit since he's on the back end of a back-to-back. I mean, these are human beings that we're talking about. This is the middle of the season. Guys are tired. So, you know, I do think it'll be Smart most of the night.
Yeah, good point.
We shall see. I think there's a lot of names that you mentioned. I will say, I think Jason Tatum, you mentioned Tatum in passing. I think he's a firm fade for me. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, we're talking about a rookie right now, right? And this is kind of the point of the season where rookies, I hate using that term rookie wall, but I'm going to use it, rookie wall. And a guy, you know, most of these guys, you know, these days coming out of the league, they're, you know, this is their first year or, you know, they're one and done's at college, you know. So these guys are typically used to playing 30, I mean 40 at the most games a year if you want to count the NCAA tournament. But again, you know, this is the point of the season when a lot of these guys start getting tired. And I think that, you know, Jason Tatum certainly falls into that category, not to mention you got Marcus Morris back in there as well. So a lot of Tatum's rhythm is kind of thrown off by not playing as many minutes.
Not only that, but they're going to need Marcus Morris to kind of match up against Blake. So,
yeah, I've really liked the way that Morris has been playing lately for the Celtics, too. I think he's that. You know, he's a great piece for them to have, especially in the postseason. So, and we kind of saw it last night when he came off the bench and really put up some numbers like real quick. So, I think that's certainly a nice piece for the Celtics going forward. I don't have much else here at the power forward position. I mean, we kind of went through it pretty quickly, but there's a lot of talent here tonight.
Oh, Stephen A., never a dull moment in your life.
What did he say now?
According to Stephen A. Smith, Dan Gilbert wants to sell the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Whoa, very nice. So how's that on Stephen A.?
Just because, like, it seems like Cleveland's reeling.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Any chance that I could take a shot at that guy, I'll take it. But, you know, it's not Stephen A.
Well, that's just who I – that's just who I – like, you hear it from.
Gotcha. Dan Gilbert wants to sell the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah,
like, not a fan of that man.
Just buy it. Just go ahead and sell it to LeBron.
Hey, one guy that we just completely did not talk about, Blake Griffin. The price went all the way up to $9,000. I mean, we were pretty firm on our no Blake stance.
No,
last game.
Oh well, yeah, that blew up in our face, but. I mean, that was before I knew the Clippers were playing at the second fastest pace in the NBA over the last 2 weeks.
Interesting. But you do like Blake here tonight against the Boston Celtics?
If he's going to get Marcus Morris, Al Horford, and Daniel Tyus, and Aaron Baines, heck yeah.
I believe it's Theis. That's the Theis, baby.
Whatever.
Okay, moving along. All right, let's clinch this whole thing with the centers. Tonight, I'm going to lead it up. Now, we got some talent here, but I'm going to lead it off with Joel Embiid, right? So, Donuts actually dropped some interesting information tonight or today, earlier this afternoon, talking about, you know, how a lot of these Sixers numbers really don't, you know, they don't show a huge boost when the guys that are out tonight are off the court. But you had a fantastic point on Monday's podcast when we were talking about, remember, you know, when you look at the ADVP chart, it shows that the Bulls are a good team against centers. However, you know, who do they really go up against on a nightly basis in the Eastern Conference? Well, that proved to be very, very truthful there. And DeMarcus Cousins absolutely smashing them on Monday night. Well, you know, Joel Embiid, a very similar type of player to DeMarcus Cousins, gets this matchup now against them. You know, I don't really care what those numbers say. I'll attack the Bulls any day of the week. I think that this could be just an absolutely huge game for Joel Embiid tonight. Do you share the sentiment?
I do. I'm scared, though. I do share some of what Mitch is talking about being scared, because we don't have a huge sample size. And like you said, trying to put your coach hat on, trying to figure out exactly what's going to happen with these guys. Initially, I did. I liked Joel Embiid a lot. However, I can go get – I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Uh-oh. I know where you're going.
I can go get Jusuf Nurkić against Karl-Anthony Towns for 6,900. I can go get Clint Capela for 78. I can go get Al Horford, whose price dropped after last night's game, for 71 or 67.
Nice.
And you can, if you want to take a chance on a guy playing 22 minutes, you can go look at freaking Jonas Valanciunas against the freaking Atlanta Hawks. I'm not going there.
Mm-hmm.
I hate playing centers that only play 22 minutes. But I understand the reasoning behind it.
Gotcha. So. I did want to preface, too, that, again, it is a fantastic matchup for Valanciunas going against Atlanta. It does suck that, yeah, he'll probably only play 22 minutes. But keep in mind, too, if you're game log watching there and you see Valanciunas' last big game against Atlanta, remember that Serge Ibaka was not in the lineup for that game. So,
ding, 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 ding.
You know, so here's again, a question for you. Just remember that.
Valanciunas is 51 going up against Atlanta.
Right.
Okay. Tyson Chandler, and the DS was released before a lot of this news came out.
Mm-hmm.
Tyson Chandler is projected for 25 minutes at 4,900 going against Indiana.
Right.
Who are you taking?
Oof.
Those are the only two that you can have. You have to have one or the other.
And it was Valanciunas or Chandler.
Yes.
I would probably go Valanciunas. I'm not a Tyson Chandler guy. I'm not. Like, I understand the rebounding is there and everything, but not my favorite scorer in the world. Yeah?
Nah, see, I would probably take Tyson Chandler against Indy. Just because I know, like, I don't know, that's a toss-up. Like, that's going to be one of the decisions I have to make tonight. And I don't know. I really don't want my disdain for Dwayne Casey only playing Valanciunas 22 minutes to come out too much and make the decision for me. I believe it's a similar play. It's a similar upside. Similar ceiling, similar floor. Like, I believe all that's pretty much the same. But Tyson Chandler I don't know. It's especially if Miles Turner's back.
Yeah, that part's there, sure.
And in retrospect, why can't I go play Miles Turner? Against Phoenix.
You can. I mean, we saw him in limited minutes. One of those. What was it? I think it was against Milwaukee. Remember when he went bananas with the steals and the blocks and everything, real quick, and basically reached value in the first quarter. So, I don't know his price. I'm sure it's not going to be much at all for. Let's see with Turner here.
He's 66.
66. Yeah. The guy I really like tonight is Clint Capella. You know, he could absolutely clean it up against the Mavericks tonight. I mean, Dallas is the worst rebounding team in the NBA. You know, again, we've just seen Capella in some of these blow up spots, and I think that this is a really good one for him tonight. Don't like 7,800, but you know, I really think he can just absolutely clean it up tonight. And then, I wasn't even thinking about Nurkic, but I really like that play tonight against the T-Wolves.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people are going to be going there tonight.
Yeah, I think that's a really good one. So I'm glad we had this discussion, Keith.
Every day over five games.
Indeed, indeed. So I believe we're on all week or Thursday.
No, we're off tomorrow.
Off tomorrow. Okay, cool. So we will be back on Friday with another podcast. And then after Friday, I'll be back in Jersey. So that'll, you know, get the as I said last night, the power plant aroma going back in my life. But it should be fun and glad to do it.
Did you see what we have on Tuesday?
This Tuesday coming up?
Yep.
I'm going to the Nets-Knicks game, but.
We have a 9 games. Oh, and speaking of which, that reminds me. Yeah, we've got some basketball games coming up for both of us. So
yeah,
next week is going to be a very sporadic week for us. But next Tuesday we've got a 9 game slate.
Nice.
Very nice. Monday and Wednesday is 6 and 8. So
okay. Okay.
Tuesday looks like to be the big day outside of Friday.
Great, of course. On the day I gotta travel up to the BK. I will say too, I do know that you know, one of our newer writers, Mr. Bear, he wants to get on some of these podcasts, so there's a good chance he could be making his debut next week if things are a little hectic for the both of us. So stay tuned for that.
Hey, I'm saying it right now. If he wants to make his debut on Fridays, he is more than welcome to.
Bear, your invitation is there on the air. So very cool. All right, folks, that'll do it for us. Again, if you want to join us, you can do so, dfsarmy.com. Use the promo code podcast and get 10% off each month of your subscription. For me, Keith, and the rest of the DFS Army, we go.
Peace out.